Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
And I'd like to speak with you because as I was talking with a few different people, wrapping up 2016, kind of going into 2017, this is the first time I've had a chance to share God's word with you, and I never feel worthy to do so, but I'm honored. But anyway, as I was talking with different families, several of them said this. They said, "We can't wait for 2016 to be over. We just want to get done with 2016. It was a horrible year." And I know even in my family, we had, last year we had broken bones and we had surgeries and we had this and that. So we had a lot of drama in our house personally. And it happens, you know, I don't know why, sometimes trouble comes in bunches, but it does. You know, I don't know why. But you know what? Blessings comes in bunches as well. So I let people know that. My wife and I, as we got ready to pull the calendar off, it was the thought of, do we put it in the drawer? Or do we just throw it in the trash can? And so, like many, we kind of, I was praying about this in terms of what to share with you this morning. And this thought crossed my mind, you know, this thought of glad to get to the new year. Just so glad to get to the new year. As if 2017 has to be better than 2016. And that's really what I was getting at with God was it was a rough year. So next year, as if the cosmic balance, I'm just due a better year. Thank you for the laugh, because the exact word is, no, you're not. Let's kind of burst the bubble right off the bat. No, you're not due anything better. I can promise you this, in 2017, you're going to have some rough times. I can promise you that. It happens. You're going to have some hard times. You're going to have some great times too, but I will promise you this, no matter what, whether you're in a hard time or whether you're in a bad time, God is still on the throne. And nothing that is going to happen to you in 2017, just like nothing that happened in 2016, caught God off guard. God knew every single event. God knows every day, every chapter, every page of the book of your life before one of them came to be. That's what Scripture tells us. And so that's good news for us. But so how can we be successful in 2017? That's what this is all about, is having spiritual success in the new year. And so moving forward, there's a couple things that I want to share with everybody today. First of all, is this. To have success, you have to have goals. Now, many of us make goals in terms of our financial or our health or stress or time management. We make goals, but many of us fail to consider the fact that we can make spiritual goals. In fact, it kind of troubles our mind. But to have spiritual success in 2017, I'd like to tell everybody here today that you need to set some spiritual goals. In fact, it's a needful thing. If we talk about, we talk with business leaders, we talk with people within our ministry areas, it's important to say this year or for this time frame, we're going to do A, B, and C. And here's how we're going to get there. Now, here's the difficulty. We set measurable goals for our health. We set measurable goals for our wealth. We set them for organization, time management. How many of you have set some goals in those areas? You've set some goals financially, or you've set some goals physically, or you've set some goals maybe even relationally or emotionally. You've set some goals. You know, you got to do it. How many of you are like this? I'm going to start a diet tomorrow, so today I'm going to go to Hardee's and McDonald's and Pizza Hut and Krispy Kreme. I'm just going to load up because tomorrow discipline starts. But today, woohoo! Anybody? Yeah, yeah. I knew a person who said this. I'm starting a budget tomorrow, so I'm going shopping today. And I'm just going to buy everything that I know that I can't buy tomorrow. to be honest with you, if that's your mindset, you're not ready for change. If your mindset is, look, tomorrow we start stuff, so we're going to do, your heart's not in the right place because you don't have heart change yet. Now, the same is true in terms of our relationship with God. You see, many people don't realize that God has given us everything that we need for relationship. He will do His part, but He also gives us our part to walk with Him. Now, we can develop it. So just like we can have measurable goals for health, wealth, organization, and time management, we can set measurable goals for spiritual growth. Now, some of you right off the bat are going to say, how in the world can you have relationship with God? How can that be measurable? That's a fair question, and we're going to get to that when we get to our final point. So just table that question, for which is legit. How can we measure? How can relationship with God be measurable? How can we tell that we're growing in those areas? But let's take it into just any relationship. If I want a stronger marriage, if I want a stronger family relationship, if I want a stronger relationship with a coworker or a friend, a spouse, a brother, a sister, sibling, no matter what it is, if I want a stronger relationship, I can set goals to facilitate relational growth, such as creating time, having good communication, reflecting on the value of the relationship, and leading the heart. That's my favorite phrase in 2016. Lead your heart. It seems like our entire world is bent on being led by whims and being led by fancies instead of taking initiative to lead. You have far more ability and responsibility to guide and direct your passions. I'm frustrated that we now live in a society that's like, I'm not in any form of the driver's seat in my desires, and whatever happens, happens. I talk to people who make poor financial decisions. Well, I just really wanted something. Huh? I've known people who've wrecked relationships and even marriages just on whims and fancies without saying, well, I fell out of love. You lead your heart as if it's just something that randomly happens. Guys, we lead our emotions. Where you lead your emotions will follow. I know that, I know it gets dicey on some of those places. But the truth is, when we look at relationships, what destroys relationships? Lack of communication, lack of appreciation, lack of understanding, and lack of connection. Okay, those things. And so, what we do is we set goals and we set priorities that actually allow and facilitate for those relationships to grow. And we can do that spiritually. And I'd like to say this. If you want to grow, which I hope everybody in the room wants to grow spiritually this year. Anybody? Thank heavens. It's a really concerning thing to say, hey, who'd like to grow this year spiritually? And everybody's like, no, not really. I'm content. I'm good. I'm getting by. I'm not a holy terror. Yeah, I'm not like leading people to Christ. That's for those like religious holy rollers, you know. I don't share my faith. That's just not my personality. Oh, you know what? I don't need to study. You know, look, I go to church. I'm happy with that. Really quiet. So the deal is this, if that's what you want, I challenge you. Guys, it's my job as your pastor to challenge you if we've fallen into spiritual apathy. And if we've come to the place to say, you know what, I don't need all that. I'd like to take us back to the understanding of the appreciation of the relationship in which Jesus Christ purchased for us through the cross of Calvary. The bottom line is, it is for a passionate, growing relationship with Him. And that is, it's something that transcends religion. It's something that transcends so much of what church gets watered down into. And so, looking ahead into 2015, I said 2015, goodness gracious. If we want spiritual success in the new year, We really need to take some ownership and some time and to set some priorities and goals as we move forward. So with that in mind, as I meditated on this, I was led to one of my favorite Psalms, which is Psalm 1. Now, by the way, as I said before, God knows everything that's going to happen in 2017. He knows every day, He knows every event, He knows every life event, He knows every trial, He knows every victory, He knows everything that's going to happen. And here's the great news, is He wants to prepare you because, as the whole saying, He's a good, good Father. I'm going to sing a song in a little bit called, I Know He Holds Tomorrow. And the reason I chose that song is I love this verse. You know, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know He holds tomorrow, and I know He holds my hand. And there's a lot of good theology in that song. And there's a lot of great truth in that song. Now, if we want to be ready for everything that comes in, because we don't know, we focus on our relationship with Him, we're going to be ready. Amen? Okay, so let's go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 and has ministered to me so much in 2016 and throughout the course of my life. I encourage everyone to memorize this. Let's look at it together. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. Another translation says mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all he does, he what? Prospers. There's some good stuff here. Now, this is by an unnamed psalmist, and he gives us some tremendous truth. He says blessed, which means how happy. The New Testament equivalent, the Greek equivalent, is found in the Beatitudes. As Matthew talked about blessed, and the context of that is having God's favor or God's approval. Favored, happy, blessed, approved by God is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. You see, if you've not been underneath a rock for the past 3 months, you've heard this this concept. Fake news. Anybody heard fake news? Yeah. That's like the big thing now. Everybody's going to talk about fake news, fake news, fake news, fake news, fake news. Why? And fake news changed the election. Fake news did this. Fake news is ruining society. Fake news. And I understand, if we got lies, we got lies. And there are things that are told that are not true, or that are exaggerated, or that are only have one perspective or one point of view. Here's what I find quite ironic and quite troubling as I reflected on 2016. Is this. Our society is teetering on a tremendous change to this. There is absolute truth to there is relative truth. And here's what this looks like. And here's why this is important if you want spiritual success in 2017. Is you have to understand whose counsel you're taking. Because nowadays, what we say is this. I may look like Pastor Michael, but in essence, I'm an apple tree. Don't laugh at me. I'm an apple tree. Period. You better treat me like, you know, we can extend this. Truth is whatever I say it is, even if it flies totally contrary to God's word. Now in John 17:17, Jesus says this, sanctify them by the truth, which means separate them by the truth. Separate his people by the truth. And then he says, for your word, everybody say word, is true. So God's word is true. It is the final. It is the Alpha. It is the Omega. God's word is what holds all of creation into existence. He spoke a word, and that word is what holds all of life still functioning. All matter, all time, everything God created just with a word. Yeah, God! Now, we, our society, the new world order in which we live, says this. I don't care what God says. What I say I almost said, well, I say trumps it, but I can't say Trump anymore because then we're being political. So now our word supersedes. Thank you. Thank you. My walking thesaurus here. Good. My word supersedes God's word. And that's actually a better way to describe it of the audacity of the current move of our society. Now, it's already transformed Europe, and it's beginning to try to transform the United States. And so, brothers and sisters, I'm sounding an alarm to our church, and I know things are about 15 to 20 years behind here in Pittsfield than when we get on the highway, and actually if you drive a couple hundred miles and you start hitting larger urban centers, there's huge transformation that's happened. And if we think that it's not coming to Pittsfield, you are foolish. It just takes a little bit longer to come here. So the church needs to be prepared, because I speak with some of my pastor friends who are in larger urban areas. What they're experiencing is an extreme animosity now against the Christian worldview. An intentional animosity set at destroying the Christian worldview. Particularly the evangelical Christian worldview and everything that the evangelical Christian worldview holds. And so the huge part is truth. I can call myself a little teapot, short and stout. I can say I have a handle. I can say I have a spout. And you can tip me over and pour me out, okay? Whatever happens, it doesn't change the fact that what God says about me supersedes what I say about myself. Now, here's why this is really important. Because what I try to say about myself sometimes is this. I'm a failure. I'm addicted to this. I'm caught on this. I will never overcome. And what God says is, you are my son, and what I say about you is true. You are an overcomer through the blood of Jesus Christ. So where I say about myself, I can never be forgiven, I can never overcome, I can never persevere, God says, yes, you can. Where I say I can never stand, God's word to me says, yes, you can. I can empower you to stand in the day. You want spiritual success in 2017? Guys, we need to start with this number one, Psalm 1. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. When I got to college, and this is, I share this, and it probably doesn't paint me in a good light, but it's true. I had made vows before I went to college. I had made vows with a friend of mine who we had a kind of a neat little Bible study going, and we made a vow to each other. And I got to college, and you know what happens with a lot of people when they get to college? I began getting inundated by a whole nother worldview. And this is at a Christian college, by the way. And in this worldview and in this everything, oh, it doesn't matter. Everything's fine. Everything's good. Everything's good. And it didn't take long for me to walk in the counsel of the wicked. And I found myself standing in the way of the sinners. It's amazing how those two things go hand in hand. And it's amazing what happened next was I very quickly found myself in the seat of the scoffer. What does that mean? I began very quickly to develop an animosity towards God and towards God's will for my life. Thank God for redemption. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God that He makes old things that they can pass away and all things can become new. So spiritual success in this new year is a result of the counsel that we embrace. And I'd like to say that a lot of times we're getting fake news. And so we need to understand and identify who our counselors are. Next thing we have to do is look. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. So how do we not embrace the counsel of the wicked? Well, the easiest way is to embrace the counsel of God. How do we do it? Verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law He meditates day and night. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them by the truth, for your word is true. So guys, we delight in His law. In other words, if you want to embrace God's word, you embrace it as His counsel. So embrace God's word as His counsel. You can click it two times if you would, please. So we check the counsel that we embrace, and we embrace God's word as our counsel. And what happens is verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruits in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all he does, he prospers. Man, I love that. My sister moved to Yuma, Arizona, which we all said, why? You know, that's like 120 degree heat. You know, it's a direct opposite of what you had, Larry. And what's interesting is, so it's in the middle of the desert. You fly in there and it's desert. And then you come to the Yuma Valley and all of a sudden it's green. You're like, what's with this? And so we land and we're walking and there's, I mean, sagebrush blowing away and nothing. And then you see this huge field of cauliflower and a field of broccoli and a field of lettuce. It's remarkable. They run 5 crops a year. They plant, it grows, it harvests, it plant, it grows, it's harvest. And we're like, how does this happen? And so we took a tour of what they've done to the Colorado River, and they diverted water, and they have this series of irrigation. And so what they've done is what was once a desert is now by a stream of water, and that water is constantly giving this fruit. Constantly. It's remarkable. You say, as I thought about that, I thought about, you know, many of our lives feel like a spiritual desert. The bottom line is because we have removed ourselves from the counsel of God. We've embraced the counsel of the wicked. We draws us to standing in the way of sinners and sitting in the seat of scoffers. And we haven't meditated on it. And so therefore we're not fruitful. And the fruit to which I'm talking about is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. There we go. So we have these fruit that's supposed to come through our lives. And in fact, it does come naturally. I don't sit there and, you know, if you have an apple tree doesn't try really hard to make apples. It just happens because it's an apple tree, right? And by the way, an apple tree can't say, I'm an orange tree and make oranges, right? So there's going to be a natural fruitfulness that comes from our life when we embrace the counsel of God. We reject the counsel of the wicked and we meditate on this law. Let's look at this next part because there is a difference that comes. Okay, spiritual success is that we allow God to separate us. Spiritual success will separate us. That means it will make us different. Everybody say different from the world. Now, that's where I kind of have a little bit of a struggle right now with the new relevant church move, which tries to make church as worldly as possible. And I get trying to relate to people on their level. I really do, and I'm cool with that. What I'm not cool with is saying, how can we relate in terms of breaking God's word or breaking God's law or changing our doctrine that's not palatable to society? If we say, I need to change our core doctrine because it makes everyone else mad, the truth is, then their problem is not with us. Their problem is with God. Right? Am I stepping on something today? The deal is, this is true. Look, I'm standing behind God's word. Okay? This is not my opinion. This is God's word. I do have opinion on it. I think it's right. And so we have to be careful in walking in 2017 not to rewrite God's word to be more palatable, but to, because that is embracing the counsel of the wicked. Rather, we need to more than ever, and guys, this is what I mean, more than ever in 2017, we are at a critical junction, a critical point of decision with the future of our nation, and it has to do with our own embracing the difference that God has for us. God is going to make the church different than the world. And here's part of the difference. Verse 4. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. You know, the biggest difference in my life that I could say walking and having a relationship with Jesus Christ brought to me is not that hard times don't come. Because they still do. It's that in the hard times, I'm not alone. And in the hard times, if I look back to my BC times, I know this. Hard times equaled drama. A bad time comes. What am I going to do? Woe is me. Oh, this is unfair. You know what? I got rid of fairness a long time ago. You know what? What's not fair is that he took my place on the cross. That's what's not fair. Everything that I have, man, is blessing. Even the hard times. Because God is with me. And that relationship makes all the difference. Amen? And so as we look at it, you know, the chaff that the wind drives away. Hard times will come. I can promise you in 2017, hard times will come. But I can promise you this. God will be faithful. He's still on the throne. And you can trust in Him. Okay? Verse 5, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Okay, so moving forward into 2017, here's how we frame this. Everything is a chance to deepen our walk with Christ. Be the difference that God wants us to be. So let me conclude and just review real quickly. Number one, set spiritual goals. Not just discipline, but relationship building. C, prayer, study, worship, service, and fellowship as relationally strengthening. Those are activities that strengthen. Don't just do them. Do them intentionally to strengthen your measurable. Now, here's what I said about being measurable. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are the fruit of the Spirit. Everybody say fruit. Of the Spirit. Okay. Some people say this. Well, I've got love and I've got kindness. Therefore, I have the fruit of the Spirit. No, you don't. Because the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so if I eat an orange is sweet and it is citrusy and it is succulent and it's juicy. And so you think of those different adjectives as part of the fruit. If you're saying, yeah, I've got love and I've got joy, but I'm a jerk. No, you still got room, a measurable way to grow. You know, the one that we can all say is patience, or we can say self-control. That's a great one. So understand this. That is something that you can measure because you know yourself. When you're honest, you know yourself. You know your thought processes. You know what you think that you're afraid for anyone else to know. And everyone here in the room has got it. I would say, raise your hand if you've ever thought a thought that you were embarrassed to think and you don't want everyone else to know. But everyone's hand would go up and I don't want to embarrass you. But know this, everyone's hand just went up. Right? Okay, so moving forward, you can make that measurable. You can lead your heart that way. And how do we do that? Check your counselors. That was the second point. Check your counselors. Blessed is he who walketh not in the counsel of the wicked. And the third point is this, be transformed. In other words, embrace your weirdness. For some of us, that'll be a lot easier than others. That's all right. Become the church, which means transition from religion to relationship. And understand this, that means that we're going to be passionate and powerful. The church of Jesus Christ is not a bunch that sit there, you know, singing blessed assurance and not doing anything. They are powerful and they are passionate. When we look at the New Testament church in the book of Acts, it was a group of believers who were powerful, not in themselves, in the Holy Spirit moving through them, and they were passionate about sharing the truth, sharing the light of Jesus Christ. And that's what God has for each one of you. My church family, are you up to the task? Okay, let's stand to our feet. Let's pray.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School offer for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday School class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.